Good evening and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you who are here tonight with us at the table, and also to with those who are joining us online. Merry Christmas to you all. It is really a pleasure to have you all here with us today. My name is Jorge Dominguez. I use pronouns he, him, and I am one of the co-pastors here at the church together with Pastor Greg. And tonight is a very special night for us here at the table. So we are almost full capacity. So for those of you who are sitting in benches, that there are some spaces in the middle, if you could just squeeze in one direction or the other so the people coming will find an easy place to sit. And also there are some chairs on the end of the aisles. You have been probably watching some of the news and the slides on the screen. We are actually offering some quiet space for families or for those who need a space with children on our fireside room and the loft rooms if you need that more quiet space for some reflection or to take your child. That will be available throughout the service. There are restrooms also on this floor and on the second floor going through the back door if you need to know where the restrooms are. There are hearing devices available at the entrance of the sanctuary, and also there are some stickers and binders for our youngest friends if they want to entertain themselves during this time. The table welcome you here this evening. We are a congregation that is really open and inviting all to be part of this family. We meet every Sunday at the worship services with our marvelous music group every morning. So if you want to join us during Sundays at 9:30 or at 11 a.m., you can hear their great music and also be part of this growing community that we are together. Not only together here, but also in service. We are also inviting all of you who want to get to know our farm in South Sacramento and volunteer with us in engaging with the community there. Today we'll be collecting an offering, a Christmas offering, to support some of our ministries in that area, and you'll hear more about that during the worship today. We also need to know that if you have not received a candle at the door, you should just raise your hand and we'll try to give you one, because we will use candles. So we'll get some candle to you, and if there's anybody else, we will distribute that as well. Christmas is a time for us to be together as a family. So I will invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we will do together a responsive call to worship in this evening, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus among us. We are going to read, I will read the one, and I invite all of you to read the all part on the screens. On this holy night, we come, dazzled and awestruck, ready to sing alongside the angels. On this holy night, we come, eager and hopeful, ready for journey alongside the shepherds. On this holy night, we come quietly and tenderly, ready to worship alongside Mary. On this holy night, we come singing, trusting, believing, proclaiming good news is louder than fear. Let us worship our good news, God is always with us, and we are going to do that by singing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," standing with our band.
O children or if you feel young at heart, part of Christmas is bringing the light into this room. And so kids, if you have a bag like this with a light in it, come join me in the back here. Let's go together. And we're going to celebrate the light coming in on Christmas.
Full of fear, where do you see the presence of God?
I see God's fingerprints all around us. I see God in the beauty of the stars twinkling in the heavens.
I see God in the love of this community and in the singing of Christmas songs. I see God in the dreams we hold for a better world.
You are right. Even in a fearful world, God is here. God is all around us.
On this holy night, we light the Christ candle as a reminder of this good news. May this flicker of light help us remember that even in a fearful world, God's love is all around us.
Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.
Let's stand in body or spirit and sing together this familiar Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
I'm Kelly Love, and my pronouns are she, her, and would you pray with me? God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we long to catch a glimpse of your spirit that is always with us. We cup our ears to hear the sound of the angel chorus. We turn our eyes toward the sky to see if we can find your star. We lean forward in our seat to see if we can feel your presence in our midst. Oh, how we long to catch a glimpse of your spirit, O God. So on this quiet night, on this holy night, on this joyful night, reveal yourself to us once more. Speak to us through the music and the children. Speak to us through starlight and candlelight. Speak to us through these ancient words once again. We long to catch a glimpse of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you all rise and help us sing this classic, Joy to the World.
Good evening. My name is Ted Link Oberstar. My pronouns are he, him. Our first reading this evening, this holy night, is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. And I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
Thank you. with every sort of shiny thing, they will be surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley. Afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, and your friend, come to my table, rest here in my thank you.
A joyous Christmas Eve to each and every one of you, especially you two down here. My name is Bob Martinez. My pronouns are he and him. Our second reading this holy night is also from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 13 through 20, and I also will be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version updated edition. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all people with whom God is well pleased." Now when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it were amazed, pondering, wondering at what the shepherds were telling them. But Mary kept all of these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Or as my grandchildren in England would say, Happy Christmas. My name's Greg Berquist. My pronouns are he, him. It's been my pleasure to be, for the last 6 months, co-pastor with George Dominguez here at the table. As I was thinking about this evening, I realized that this is my first and last Christmas Eve message at the table because the new pastoral team is here. And so I want to be sure to introduce them. Reverends Mike Harrell and Kelly Love will be joining Pastor George beginning January 1st. And for a really long time. Thank you for being here this evening. And I want to thank the music team. As I was listening to you, I realized that Christmas is about the fa-la-la-las. You just have to feel great if you can do fa-la-la, la-la-la, la-la-la. I can't do it anyway. But it's also about realizing that we find Jesus in the alleyways of life. You know, and it's that mosaic of feelings that we bring here tonight. For those of you all who have been listening to me for a while, you know I'm a bit of a storyteller. I don't always tell my own stories, and I want to share with you a story by Fred Craddock. Fred was my preaching and New Testament professor in seminary, one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life. And because he was a storyteller, and that's the way he taught me to preach. But so in honor of Fred, he's no longer with us, I wanted to tell this story that still impacts me today. It's set in 1943. Fred is serving his very first little church in the eastern Tennessee hills, not far from Oak Ridge. If you remember the history, that same year, Oak Ridge was designated as one of the sites for the Manhattan Project. Remember that? You know, the site where the research for the first atomic bomb was held. Well, needless to say, that little itty-bitty town became a booming city overnight. Every hill and every valley and every shady grove had recreational vehicles and trucks and cars and all sorts of things parked everywhere. People came in from everywhere and pitched tents and even lived in wagons. Hard hats from everywhere with their families and their children paddling around in the mud of the trailer parks. They lived anywhere and everywhere, temporarily, in order to find work. Well, Fred's little church was not far away from this. It was a beautiful little church, white frame building, 112 years old. The church had an organ in the corner, which one of the young fellows had to pump while Mrs. Lois played it. Y'all even know what I'm talking about? The organs where you had to pump it to make sound? And wow, she could play those old hymns as slow as anybody. It was amazing. The church had beautiful decorated chimneys, kerosene lamps all around the walls, and every pew in this little church was hewn, hand-hewn, from giant poplar trees. After church one Sunday morning, Fred asked the lay leaders to stay because he had a bright idea. He said to them, you know, we're watching all these folks move in, and what we need to do is launch in the South what you call an invitational campaign. Basically, let's go out and invite all these folks to come to our church. They're moving in. They need a place to stay. They need a church home. Let's invite them in. Well, immediately, one of the lay leaders said, I don't know about that. I don't think they'd fit in. I mean, they're just temporary, and they're just construction people. I mean, they'll be leaving pretty soon. And then another one said, anyway, you know, they don't understand us. They don't know our ways. They don't speak our language. You know, they just wouldn't be comfortable here. Well, Fred said, you know, we ought to try, don't you think? We ought to at least try. We should invite them and make them feel at home. Well, they spent some time arguing about it, and eventually they ran out of time for the meeting, so they agreed that they would vote on it the next Sunday, of course, after a week of prayer and discerning what to do. Well, the next Sunday came, and they all sat down after the service, and immediately one of the lay leaders raised his hand and said, I move that in order to be a member of this church, you have to own property in the county. Someone said, I second that, and it passed, just like that. Fred, that young pastor, he voted against it. But they reminded him he was just a kid preacher and he didn't have a vote. So it passed. And that church continued to be just as it had always been. It continued to be just as it had always been. Jesus came into this world to say things need to be different. Not the way things have always been. And when he came into this world, he came in it in a spectacular way. Let's review some of that scripture. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. A natural reaction, right? Now, you need to understand something about shepherds. This was a necessary occupation for the economic well-being of the early Palestinian community, for food and drink, wool for clothing, skins for shelter. However, it was somewhat of a despised occupation as well. It was thought that the shepherds were shiftless and dishonest people who, because of their roving and wandering and temporary life, grazed their sheep on others' land and stole from the flock. The shepherds were a marginalized people, the working poor of the day. They were the trailer people of Jesus' time. But in this very ordinary setting, in one of the alleyways of the Palestinian community, something extraordinary appears. Did you notice how Luke carefully turns our expectations completely upside down? Earth is not looking to the heavens for a sign, but the heavens look down to the earth and the extraordinary points to the ordinary and says, see, God's right there. God is right there. And the scripture goes on to say, and then suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest, and on peace all among people with whom God is well pleased. That's fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, right? You see, in the midst of the ordinary, a life in the fields, even a temporary life, came an extraordinary event, an angelic proclamation telling of a very ordinary thing, a baby. A baby was born, wrapped in a cloth, lying in the feeding trough. That's what a manger is, you know, a feeding trough. Where is God? Right there, in the ordinary things of life. How do I find God? I use my common sense. In the midst of a mosaic of feelings, and I look for God right here, right now, in our shared life together. And then I tell people, see, God is right here. Don't you see? You don't need to look up into the heavens. God is right here. You see, Luke's story insists that the good news of God has weight and presence. But it needs to be amplified. It needs to be proclaimed. In a world that tells marginalized communities to be quiet, that punishes joy and rage alike, joy becomes resistance. The shepherds return glorifying and praising God. They become the first evangelists. They'll tell anyone who will listen what they have experienced. And the good news spreads, not through Caesar's decrees, but through the alleyways, through the trembling and joyful witnesses. Reverend Boyong Lee says it this way: tonight, we're invited to do the same thing. Not because our fear is gone, but because good news still breaks in. Even when it's quiet, even when it's messy, even when it feels like the darkness will never end, this is the shape of God's dream. News born in vulnerability, joined, proclaimed by the overlooked, power shown not through force, but through flesh. So let us proclaim the good news loudly. Let us make space for joy that shakes the walls. Let us resist fear's domination by bearing witness to light, to peace, to Christ among us. Because tonight we remember, fear may be loud, but love is louder. Violence may be strong, but hope is stronger. And the good news, God is here, right now, will not be silenced. Amen. The relationship between sheep and shepherd is quite different in Palestine, especially comparing to the way we think of herding animals. In Palestine, sheep are largely kept for their wool. Therefore, the sheep are often with the shepherd for years, and they have names by which the shepherd calls them. Usually, they're names that are descriptive and practical. For instance, brown leg or black ear. In Palestine, the shepherd walks in front, and the sheep follow. They are never herded as we do with cattle from behind. The shepherd goes first to be sure that the path is safe. And then the sheep are encouraged to follow. One story I heard goes like this. One traveler in Palestine tells a story of a shepherd trying to lead her flock over a ford across a stream. At first, the sheep were unwilling to cross. The shepherd finally solved the problem by carrying one of the lambs across. When his mother saw her lamb on the other side, well, of course, then she crossed too. And soon all of the rest of the flock had followed her. The life of the shepherd and the sheep are embedded in community, a community of meaning, a beloved community where everyone feels safe and has a purpose. And there we find God. It was several years later, after Fred had retired, and he decided that they were going to go back and live in the eastern hills of Tennessee. He and his wife went back to the hills, and after they had settled in into the glories of retired life, Fred took his wife to see that little church, the place where it all began. Why? Because he had told her about that painful, painful story from the beginning of his ministry. The roads around Oak Ridge had changed. The interstate now goes through that part of the country. So they had a hard time finding the church at first, but they finally did. Found the state road and then the county road and the little gravel road. Then there back among the pines was that building, still shining white. But there was definitely something really different. You see, the parking lot was full. It was absolutely full. It was full of motorcycles and trucks and cars and RVs. They were everywhere. It was packed. And out front, Fred saw a great big sign in front of this white building, and it said, "Barbecue, all you can eat." You see, it's a restaurant now. So what do you do? They went in to eat, right? So the pews were still there. They were just pushed against the wall. They now had electric lights instead of kerosene lamps. The organ was pushed over in the corner, and no one was playing those good old slow songs. There were these aluminum chairs and plastic tables and people sitting eating barbecued pork and chicken and ribs. And then Fred noticed something. It was all kinds of people. It was all kinds of people. There were construction people and trailer park dwellers, some who owned property and some who did not. It was probably a couple of shepherds in there somewhere too. And they were all talking to each other as if they shared something in common. So Fred turned to his wife, Nettie, and whispered, "You know, Nettie, it's a good thing that this is still not that church. Because if it was, those people would not be welcome here." In a world that emphasizes fear, where algorithms on social media decide what's get weight, what gets circulated, and what takes up space, we are called to do something different, to be something different. We are called to do the exact opposite, to make our joy disruptive. So let us be loud and unruly, amplifying the good news like the shepherds running into the streets of Bethlehem. In a world where good news never feels loud enough to drown out fear, let us boldly proclaim that good news is indeed louder than fear. Let us shout our glorious, let us sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on peace to all. And by all means, let's eat more barbecue. Amen.
As part of our response here at the table, we invite you to participate, to be part of this community, also reaching in love to our neighbors and across the world. Our Christmas offering this year will be supporting the ministries of the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership, the Food Closet, and also the Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. In 2025, we were made aware of the increased needs of our neighbors who are experiencing food insecurity, and we have given most of our production from the farm to the food closet. We dedicated our Easter offering to the food closet, and we also had a grant that we provided from our conference to support them. They provide support for our neighbors who are unhoused, migrants, asylum seekers, people who do not qualify for food stamps. And throughout our Methodist connection, we also share that this situation is not only happening in our neighborhood, but we support ministries around the world through the Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. We have been reflecting during this Advent season about hope. Hope actually overturns the fear that may exist. And we are inviting all of you to also take this hope home. I will ask the help once again of the children who are here today to help us to distribute these gifts of hope that you will take home. And also, at the same time, we will collect the offering this evening, which you can give by giving an offering on the plates that will be passed around, or you can do that online by also looking into our webpage. But we are going to watch a video about these two ministries that we are going to support tonight as we prepare for the offering. And I will invite the pastors to help me and bring the children so to the back at the door, so we will also share some gifts with you during this time. Let us watch this video as the children come to help us.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Mike Harrell. My pronouns are he and him. So, Scripture tells us of a light that shines in the darkness, a light that refuses to be extinguished. And it is that light that we gather together tonight to welcome and to celebrate. It is that light that seeks to be born anew in us and through us. And it is both a gift that we are called to receive and a gift that we are called to share. And so in that spirit, as we close our time together on this holy night, we're going to join together in an act of receiving and sharing the light with one another. Because when we do both of those things, when we live into that call to both receive and share the light, it means that any night, any day, any moment even, can be made holy. And so our music team is going to share a special piece with us and then transition into Silent Night, in which we will all be invited to join our voices together in singing. So at this point, I'd like to invite you to stand as you are able. Candles at the ready, which I am not a good role model because I've set mine down somewhere and don't know where I put it. As we move into this time of blessing one another with the light of God's relentless, unyielding love and grace for all of us and for all of creation.
Christmas is about fa-la-las. It's about realizing we can find God in the alleyways. But sometimes Christmas is about silence, realizing that silence can be incredibly loud. So tonight, I invite you to join me as we take the light out into the world and remind people that the good news of God's love is louder than any fear that we have to face. Merry Christmas, my friends. Amen.